وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.
أبو عامر عن أبو يوسف، how are you both doing؟
الحمد لله بخير يا شيخنا.
الحمد لله.
How are you going with this class؟
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. We are reading from the book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, Abu Abdullah rahimahullah, who happens to be the author also of the widely known book as Sahih al-Bukhari. The Sheikh, the Imam who had authored Sahih al-Bukhari, is the same author of this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. But he had compiled Al-Adab al-Mufrad specifically on the issues of the manners of a Muslim. So with him, the name of the book is Al-Adab. But the ulama would say it is Al-Adab al-Mufrad because the meaning of Al-Mufrad is something that is specifically done, solely done for a specific reason. So Al-Adab al-Mufrad means a book that is specifically compiled regarding the manners, regarding the issues of manners and etiquette. And that will make it be different from Kitab al-Adab in Sahih al-Bukhari. It will make it be different from the chapter about manners in Sahih al-Bukhari. Because also in Sahih al-Bukhari, we have Kitab al-Adab, the chapter about the issues of manners. So Al-Adab al-Mufrad is a separate book compiled on the issues of the manners of a Muslim. How does he relate with his parents, his relatives, his brothers, his aunts, his uncles, the rest of the family, his friends, his neighbors, in fact, with his enemies? How does he relate with them when he finds a person becoming difficult? How do you relate with such persons? Issues about how you relate with even your servants, your subordinates, your boss at work, your boss at home, and your wife, your children. All of these issues are compiled in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. From the things that he also mentioned regarding the manners of a Muslim is his manners when he becomes impressed with a person's statement or action. How do you handle your expressions when you become impressed, when you are overwhelmed positively with what a person says or does? Someone says something or someone did something, you are so impressed and overwhelmed. Islam teaches us not to go beyond bounds in terms of praising people and pouring encomium on them, praising the people. So we had read narrations about at-tamaduh, going beyond bounds in terms of praise. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam even taught us that if we now have to praise a person, we should say kadhalika ahsibuhu wallahu hasibuhu. What I have said regarding him, that is how I have considered him. But his actual account belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا أُزَكِي عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And I do not praise anyone. I do not declare anyone free or false before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also learned from the manners of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who had a practice that whenever he was praised, whenever encomium was poured on him, radiyallahu anhu, he would say, Allahumma la tu'akhidni bima yaqulun, waghfir li ma la ya'lamun, waj'alni khayran mimma yaznun. Allahumma la tu'akhidni bima yaqulun. Oh Allah, don't hold me responsible for what they say of me. وَغْفِرْ لِي مَا لَا يَعْلَمُ. Forgive my shortcomings they don't know about. وَجْعَلْنِي خَيْرًا مِمَّا يَظُنُّونَ. Make me better than they think of me. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq used to say this, radiyallahu anhu, whenever he was praised, and he used to be praised, radiyallahu anhu. We also explain that all of these does not mean that when a person did something good, it should not be parked at the back. He may be parked at the back. We may say and express to him our delight, our happiness over what he has done. But we must be balanced in that. We mustn't say what they have not done. And we must not say it in expressions that make them feel that they are better than everybody. And then they fall into arrogance and self-amazement. May Allah protect each and every one of us from these evils. But as for those who took it for a job to go about praising people, Islam encourages and teaches us to pour sand on their face, pour them sand on their faces, or say to them to stop, tell them to stop. You can say, stop, stop. And we can also pour them dust on their faces, especially in communities where the people are learned about the Sunnah. When the people are learned about the Sunnah, there's good exposure to Islam and the Sunnah, such that when you pour the sand on the face of the madah, he understood what you are doing, and the people around you also understand what you are doing, then that's mostly encouraged. Otherwise, we take to the other narrations about telling them to stop praising the people. Now, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, has followed all of that with another bab. He said, rahimahullah, babu man madaha fi shi'r. Babu man madaha fi shi'r. The chapter about the one who goes singing the praise of a person. The one who he puts in the praise, or he puts in his shi'r, in his poems, in his songs, so to say, he puts in the versifications, praises, that he is praising you in his poems. And this is because Arabs were used to shi'r and shu'ara. Shi'r is a very, very common thing amongst Arabs, poems. Today, if anybody wants to display mastery of the Arabic language, it says that by saying poems. And of course, that's also available in English. If a person becomes very good in English language, you see that in the poems that they write, in the literature, because it speaks about that person's understanding about that language and the people of that language. So whenever Arabs wanted to praise a person, they begin to sing poems that praise him, because in poems, in the verses of poems, the ulama say they pay attention to al-ma'ani wal-alfaz wal-ta'fir. They pay a lot of attention to meanings. They choose words with very great elaborate meanings. One single word, but with a lot of meanings. They pay attention to words, and they pay attention to al-ta'fir. Something they say, and then you become moved. And that's what you see in poems. That's what you see in songs. Someone sings a poetry for you, and then you are sleeping, you become active. Why? Because the expressions, the words that he has chosen in that poem that he sings for you, it has a lot of impact on your mind. So this is now used positively or negatively. They use positively if it is words of encouragement and about goodness within the limits of the Sharia. The same limits we mentioned regarding ordinary expressions of praise. All what we have said regarding ordinary expressions of praise, they also come handy when we talk about Sharia. But because the Arabs have a lot of respect for Sharia, a lot of respect for poets and poetry, and the people who recite poetic verses, they have a lot of respect for them. So that is why Al-Imam al-Bukhari specifically mentioned poems, because it was a special part of their lifestyle. Arabs like poems so much. And like I said, poems and praising people in poems, the same rules that employ, that apply when we make speeches to praise people, those are the same rules that we must apply when it has to do with praising them in poems. So, and I was saying that poems can be used positively, they can be used negatively. Poems, just like ordinary expressions, too, they can be used positively. It can be used negatively. Positively, if they talk about truth, justice, goodness, and all of these, and then they encourage the people towards them, that means they are talking about goodness, and they are singing the praises of goodness within the limits of goodness. But on the other hand, poems can be used to destroy an individual. They have hijab, they destroy, they attack your personality. They destroy you, they say evil words, despicable words about you, unprintable words about the people. So it is not lawful to do that in ordinary expressions. Just like it's not lawful to go about spreading the cult of a Muslim. The same way, it's not lawful to go about singing poems to destroy an individual. That's why one thing, one expression common amongst the ulama about shir is that they say that ash-shiru kalamun hasanuhu hasanun wa qabihuhu qabih. The major expression they say. They say ash-shiru kalam, shir, poems are expressions too. They are words too. Hasanuhu hasan. The good of it, that is the good statements, good words in a poem. Hasan. They are good too. Just like good statements, good expressions are good too. Waqabihuhu qabih. The bad of it, bad poems are also bad. Just like bad statements are also bad. So poems are just like words. They are just like expressions. This is the basic rule about them. Poems are just statements. They are expressions. They are words. Do you understand? Hasanuhu, when it is good, just like kalam, hasanuhu hasan, the good of it is good. Wa qabihuhu qabih. So that which is bad from it is also bad, just like statements. So the same way we handle all the instructions from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam about praising people in ordinary statements, those are the same things too we must employ when we talk about Sharia. Despite the fact that Sharia, the bulk of it, when they start it, they go beyond limits. It is difficult to find Sharia, to find poets praising a person, except that you will always go beyond limits. And that's why amongst the scholars too, it's a very, very common expression amongst them. They say that A'azabu shi'ri akzabuhu. A'azabu shi'ri akzabuhu. The sweetest, the most interesting poems in terms of praising people, akzabuhu, they are the ones that contain the most lies. The sweeter a poem, the more likelihood of lies you will find in it. They say that A'azabu shi'ri, the most interesting, the most delightful from shi'ri, from poems, akzabuhu, they are the ones that are most likely containing lies. When you see poems, you make sure you see a lot of lies in it. So because of all of these kinds of extremes, people go in terms of poems. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, selected poetry for a mention after generally talking about praising people, how it can be bad, how it can be good. He now also mentioned a share, because it was a regular thing amongst the Arabs. And that will come with Hadith 342 in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, رحمه الله حدثنا حجاج قال حدثنا حماد بن سلمة عن علي بن زيد عن عبد الرحمن بن أبي بكر عن الأسود بن سريع قال أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقلت يا رسول الله قد مدحت الله بمحامد ومدح وإياك فقال أما إن ربك يحب الحمد فجعلت أنشده فاستأذن رجل طوال أسلعه فقال لي النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اسكت فدخل فتكلم ساعة ثم خرج فأنشدته ثم جاء فسكتني ثم خرج فعل ذلك مرتين أو ثلاثة وقلت من هذا الذي سكتني له؟ قال هذا رجل لا يحب الباطل. الإمام البخاري reported this narration from الشيخ حجاج بن المنهال. We had read a number of hadith that Al-Imam al-Bukhari read from حجاج بن المنهال. قال حدثنا حماد بن سلمة. حجاج بن المنهال reports the hadith from Hammad ibn Salama, rahimahullah, one of the scholars of Sunnah. And he is reporting from Ali ibn Zayd. Ali ibn Zayd here is Ali ibn Zayd ibn Jud'an. Ali ibn Zayd ibn Jud'an, who happens to be a weak reporter of hadith. So let us note this point. Ali ibn Zayd ibn Jud'an is a weak reporter of hadith. And so for that reason that this hadith, this narration is graded weak by the scholars of hadith. If you go to the screen, you see the report coming from the hadith of from the statement of Al-Imam Al-Albani that this hadith is graded weak. We'll come back to explain that further, inshallah. But Ali ibn Zayd ibn Jud'an is the fault in this hadith. Ali ibn Zayd ibn Jud'an is the fault in this hadith. And he is reporting from Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakra. Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakra, he is at Tamimi al-Thaqafi. Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakra al-Thaqafi is reporting from Al-Aswad ibn Sari' al-Tamimi. Al-Aswad ibn Sari' al-Tamimi is the companion reporting this hadith. Al-Aswad ibn Sari' is known to sing poems. He is well known as from those who sing poems. They sing poems to praise Allah, they sing poems to mention positive things about the Prophet Muhammad. Like Hassan ibn Thabit would do, like Abdullah ibn Rawaha would do, like Ka'ab ibn Malik would do. There were a number of the companions radiallahu anhum who used to sing, who used to make poems. They will defend the honor of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. They would praise Allah with their poems, and they will refute the mushrikun and shirk using poems. So the common thing amongst these companions, Hassan ibn Thabit, Abdullah ibn Rawaha, Ka'b ibn Malik, and one of those who used to do that also was Al-Aswad ibn Sari'. He used not to be mentioned, but he did it too. He used to do that. Radiyallahu anhu. He said, أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقلت يا رسول الله. I came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and I said, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, قَدْ مَدَحْتُ اللَّهَ بِمَحَامِدَ وَمِدَحٍ قَدْ مَدَحْتُ اللَّهَ بِمَحَامِدَ وَمِدَحٍ. I have praised Allah. مَدَحْتُ اللَّهَ. I have praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be Muhammad with theology with encomium, praise Allah with words of praise, wamidah, and other expressions of praise too. I've used eulogies and I've used other expressions of praise. What is Yah? And you too, Messenger of Allah, I have praised Allah with encomiums and other expressions of praise. Be Mahamida wa Nida. I poured encomiums. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my poems. Wa iyyak. And I have also been praising you too, O Messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqal. Then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, Inna rabbaka yuhibbu alhamd. Inna rabbaka yuhibbu alhamd. Your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuhibbu alhamd. Allah loves praise. Allah loves you to praise. This part of the hadith is authentic. From the beginning of the hadith, that this companion, radiallahu anhu, al-Aswadi ibn Sariyya, al-Thaqafi, al-Tamimi, radiallahu anhu, al-Aswadi ibn Sariyya, al-Tamimi, radiallahu anhu, came to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said, قَدْ مَدَحْتُ اللَّهَ بِمَحَامِدَ وَمِدَ إِنِّي. I have praised Allah with mahamid, with eulogies, glorification, wamida, and other expressions of praise. Wa iyyak. And I've also praised you too, O Messenger of Allah. And then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ama inna rabbak yuhibbu alhamd. As for your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuhibbu mada, yuhibbu alhamd. Allah likes to be praised. And we understand that Allah started his book with what? Alhamdulillah. Allah likes to be praised, and all the praises belong to who? To Allah. This hadith, from the beginning to this point, is authentic. And you'll find it again under hadith 869. If you go to hadith 869, that narration has been reported by from Al-Aswad ibn Sariyya. He said, Kultu ya Rasulallah, inni madahtu rabbi bimahamd. O Messenger of Allah, I have praised my Lord with eulogies, a lot of expressions of praise. God, the Prophet replied, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ama inna rabbaka yuhibbu alhamd. As for your Lord, he loves praises. Allah likes praises. وَلَمْ يَزِدْهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. The Prophet did not say any of that thing to him. Al-Aswad ibn Sariyya said two things, but the Prophet replied with one. Al-Aswad ibn Sariyya said, مَدَحْتُ اللَّهَ بِمَا حَمِدَ وَمِدَ حِنْ وَإِيَّا. I have praised you with a lot of praises. And I have praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a lot of praise. So he responded to say yes. Allah likes Amma, as for your Lord, Inna Rabbaka yuhibbu alhamd. Your Lord likes praises. But regarding himself, he turned away. He didn't say anything. He set it aside. Why? Because he had, alayhi salatu salam, used to say that the people should, for as much as possible, avoid going to beyond limits in terms of praising him. As for Allah, there is no beyond limits. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the beautiful things, as beautiful as you can. And your praise of him cannot reach his essence. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to praise something from the knowledge of Allah, you cannot praise him as he actually is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So praise cannot be too much. Glorification cannot be too much for Allah. But as for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he is Bashar. You can praise him and easily go beyond limits. That was why he also cautioned, don't go beyond limits. don't go beyond him. And some of the people, because of the love they claim to have for the Prophet alayhi salam, and this love may really, really be true. But if you love the Prophet alayhi salam, it must be within the limits of the teachings of the Prophet alayhi salam. Just like if we love people, the love we have for people must also be exhibited within limits. So if you love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and you want to praise the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is lawful to love him. But it is unlawful to express our love to him beyond the limits that he himself, that we love, has stated. We love Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, but let that be within limits. So if you love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and you say he's the person of honor and nobility, yes, he is. But don't praise him beyond limits. Like some people say regarding the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, وَمِنْ عُلُومِكَ عِلْمُ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ مِنْ عُلُومِكَ عِلْمُ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ We know the book Al-Burda is very common. عَلَى كُلِّ فَنٍ فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ فَنَّهُ بِأَنْ فَرَدَ دِينَ الْقَوِيمَ وَالسَّنَّهُ فَقَدْ سَلَاكَ إِنْسَ الْخَلْقِ تُورَ وَالْجِنَّهُ And all of this, we all used to memorize these stanzas of children. But in it, in Al-Burda, it has praised the Prophet beyond what he is. Like saying that, وَمِنْ عُلُومِكَ عِلْمُ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ From the knowledge of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is the knowledge of the entirety of what is in Allah al-Mahfuz and the knowledge of everything that the pen wrote down at the beginning of creation. This is an exaggeration in praising the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Sari' ibn al-Aswad said, I have praised Allah and I have praised him, he said, yes, it's good. As for Allah, yes, all the praises belong to me. He didn't even reply to saying that I praise you. He didn't reply to it, because the basic warning is that be careful about praising so that you do not exaggerate as some of the people have exaggerated in praise. In fact, there are clear-cut narrations where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was being praised, and he cautioned those praising him. When the people say to him alayhi salatu wasalam that Masha Allah wa shi', that the matter will be as Allah wants and as you want, he says, Ataj'alani lillahi nida, you want to bring me in an equal with Allah. Qulu Masha Allah. What you should say, Masha Allah. In some report, he didn't say any of that. Just say Masha Allah. Don't say as Muhammad wants, as Allah wants, and as Muhammad. Hey, don't say that. And we remember the narration of the woman from amongst the Ansar who had said regarding the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that wa alayhi salatu wasalam wa fina Rasulullah ya'lamu ma fil ghad. And amongst us is the Messenger of Allah who knows tomorrow. The Prophet said, La ya'lamu ma fil ghad illa Allah. Don't praise me like that. No one knows tomorrow except Allah. But the Prophet used to discourage, prohibit that he was exaggerated. Praise for him became an exaggeration. But this is a very common thing in poems. We attended a marriage ceremony about a month ago here in the town where we live. And one of the brothers was praising, not me, bismillah, was praising one of the brothers that there is no town anywhere except that this man brought the light of the Sunnah to that town. I said, this is an exaggeration in praise. Stop it. But this is common in shi'r. It is common in shi'r. It is common in poems. That when you praise people in poems, you go beyond limits. So this is the reason why Imam al-Bukhari has specifically, despite the fact that the same rules that apply to basic statements, as the Arabs would say that Ashiru Kalam Qabihuhu Qabih Hasanuhu Hasan. It's just like expression. So we may not need to come to share. But because easily in share, people go beyond limits when they praise people. Even the Messenger, they went beyond limits. Look at what that woman from amongst the Ansar was saying. Wafina Rasulullahi. The Messenger is amongst us, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya'lamu ma fil ghad, he knows what is in tomorrow. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu, no one knows what is in tomorrow, what tomorrow contains, except who? Allah subhanahu. And there are verses of the Quran about this
So let us be careful about poems. If you praise your teacher, be careful. If you praise your mother, your parents, be careful. So that you do not say about them what is not of them. Just like in general basic statements. Those of us, many of the brothers are very given to writing poems and praising people in Arabic or in any other language. Be careful about it. Be careful about it. So that you don't end up breaking the back of the person you are praising, or you don't end up telling lies. We mentioned four things that people fall into when they praise. They fall into, I'll tell you, lies. They also fall into what? Al-Mujazafa, extremism. They also fall into what? An-Nifaq. They fall into hypocrisy. They hate the person, but they say words of praises upon their tongues to praise him. What they have in mind regarding him is different from what they say to him outwardly. And then they have the tendency to push people to sin, to encourage them upon sin. The man is a sinful person, and then he begins to sing praises of him. He feels comfortable and is able to carry on upon his sin. These four things are the four problems people who are used to praising others fall into. Be careful when you write your abiyat, O Talibul Ilm. Be careful. Be careful. Whether you praise the messenger, be careful about praising him so that you do not become exaggerating in your praise. And likewise, when you praise other human beings like our teachers, let us be careful about that so that we do not go beyond limit by either breaking his back, breaking his deen, pushing him into self-amazement and arrogance. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Al-Aswad ibn Sari' al-Tamimi radiallahu anhu said, I have praised Allah with theologies and expressions of praise. وإياك, I also praise you too, O Messenger of Allah. فقال, the Messenger replied, عليه الصلاة والسلام, أَمَا إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يُحِبُّ الْحَمْدُ, as for your Lord, he likes praises. سبحانه وتعالى, and of course, all praises belong to who? As for the Messenger, والسلام, he turned away from responding. He made an i'rab, as if he didn't hear it. The ulama said that's one of the things you can do. When people begin to praise you, behave as if you didn't hear. Please do this a lot. You hurt yourself. Behave as if you didn't hear. Just ignore it. So the Prophet والسلام, set aside the expression talking about praising him. So Sari' al-Aswad ibn Sari' al-Tamimi radiallahu anhu said, radiallahu anhu, waja'altu anshuduhu. So I began to say those verses that he had said about Allah. He told him, as I have verses of poems for you and for Allah. I said, Allah likes to be praised. So he started praising Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, faja'altu anshuduhu. Al-Aswad ibn Sari began to make those praises. Fasta'azana rajulun tuwal. As they were upon that, the Prophet was listening to him. Ista'azana rajulun tuwal. A tall man asked for permission. And this man, he is what is called afla'u. And he has baldness on his head. It is not mentioned by way of an insult to him. It is mentioned by way of describing the man. He was tall and bald-headed. فَقَالَ لِيَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أُسْكُتْ. So the Prophet said, keep quiet. Be silent. فَدَّخَلَ فَتَكَلَّمَ سَعَةً ثُمَّ خَرَجَ. The man came in after he was granted permission to come in. فَتَكَلَّمَ سَاعَةً. He spoke for some time, for some period, ثُمَّ خَرَجَ. Thereafter, he went out. فَأَنْشَدْتُهُ. So I continued to sing those praises of Allah that I had written down, that I had versified. فَأَنْشَدْتُهُ ثُمَّ جَاءَ. I continued to sing them. Thereafter, that man came again. فَسَكَتَنِ. And the Prophet told me to keep silence again. ثُمَّ خَرَجَ. The man went out again. فعل ذلك مرتين أو ثلاثة. That happened either twice or thrice, that I will be singing those poems, those versifications, those the song, and then the man will ask for permission to come in. He would come in, he would talk to the prophet briefly, and then he would go out. It happened either twice or thrice. Fakult, then I asked, Man hadha alladhi sakkatani lahu, messenger of Allah. Who is this man for whose sake you ask me to be silent? Qal, the messenger said, alayhi salatu salam, hadha rajulun la yuhibbu al-baqi. This is the man who is not like baqi. The ulama say, rahimahumullah, from faja'altu anshuduhu, I began to sing the song up to the end of this hadith this week. What is known to be authentic from the story of Al-Aswad ibn Sayyid is the upper part of it. So the upper part of it is authentic. Why? It is reported from the same person with another chain that is authentic. But as for this chain is not authentic. Meaning that what is corroborated from other sources to be authentic in this our report is the first part of it. And that ended with the statement that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, amma inna rabbaka yuhibbul hamd. As for your Lord, He loves praise, He loves glorification. He stopped there. But from there onwards, the rest of the report only come from the narration of Ali, Ibn Zayd, Ibn Jud'an. And we know him to be a weak reporter of hadith. So the entirety of the report that came after is not authentic. So the ulama say, what this comes to say to us, was the prophet running away, the prophet rejecting that he mentioned that, I was praising you, just by way of discouraging, praising in poems, so that the individual does not, if not being careful, becomes exaggerating. We don't go beyond limit in the praise. The ulama say most of the times, if you sing praises of people in poems, most of the times you go to extremes. Meaning that if you have to do it, just like in regular kalam, you have to be very, very careful so that you do not go beyond limits. You don't say about the man what is not in him, or about the woman what is not in him. Imagine a man who writes a poem regarding his wife. Will he not go to extremes? He will most possibly go to extremes. Or a woman writing a poem regarding her husband. And a major part of Arabic poetry, ashir, is that aspect where one person who loves another person was singing the poem, writing verses about the other person that he loved or she loved, as the case may be. And you see a lot of extremism in all of these. So for the sake of Allah, let us be careful. The way we'll be careful in regular kalam, not to go beyond limits in praise, not to be too regular in singing the praises of people. And that's the unfortunate thing. Many of the teachers now, when they want to teach, especially in the gardens of tafsir, you start hearing the students singing the praises of the sheikh before the sheikh starts talking. This is not from the sunnah of Islam. You would not hear any day the messenger wanted to give a talk somewhere, and then the companion started to praise first. Please let the teacher go forth and say in alhamdulillah and start his class and not waste our time. Sometimes you find the teachers, they have 30 minutes to speak. For 15 minutes, they are singing poems of praise to the teachers. Let us stop this. What the messenger used to do, alayhi salatu wasalam, is khutbatul haja. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiru. Go and start the talk. Don't waste the time of the people with poetry for self-praise. For the sake of Allah, I adjure the teachers to stop this attitude. It is not from the sunnah and it is destructive to themselves. Don't go on singing the praises of people. Each time the man mounts the podium to speak, you start praising him. And he has classes regularly for you weekly. So how will you not destroy him? He starts feeling that he has to be praised. For the sake of Allah, let us stop this practice. It is very common amongst the teachers. Students, to stop it, don't kill your teachers with praises. Be balanced, people. I beg Allah to forgive each and every one of us. We can move to the next hadith below that. It is the same hadith with a slightly different isnad. In hadith 342, it comes with the isnad that Al-Imam al-Bukhari reports it from his sheikh, Hajjaj ibn al-Midhal. But in the report that followed 342, it came that Al-Imam al-Bukhari took this report from Sulaiman ibn Harb al-Basri. From Sulaiman ibn Harb al-Basri. He was also reporting from Hammad ibn Zayd. But as for Hajjaj ibn al-Midhal, he reported it from Hammad ibn Salama. But both Hammad ibn Salama and Hammad ibn Zayd were both reporting it from Ali ibn Abdul Rahman. They were both reporting from Ali ibn Zayd ibn Jud'an. And Ali ibn Zayd ibn Jud'an, alayhi madarul hadith, as one of the brothers that had asked in the past. So the hadith is centered upon Ali ibn Zayd. And Ali ibn Zayd ibn Jud'an is a weak reporter of hadith. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari has just mentioned it. And it is said that the man said, madahtuka wa madahtullah, just in the meaning of hadith 342 that we had read. So for the sake of Allah, let us all be careful about praising people and singing laudations and encomiums, so that we do not destroy those people about whom we speak, or destroy their deen, make them begin to feel self-amazement and arrogance regarding themselves, feeling that they are better than every other person, and then they begin to treat the people looking down upon them. For the sake of Allah, let us be very careful. And if we have to say something positive about the individual, we have to be what? We have to be balanced, just as we do in regular kalam. The ulama say, ashiru kalam. After all, poems are also expressions. Hasanuhu hasan. When the poem is good and balanced, then that is good. Wa qabihuhu qabih. And when the poem is exaggerating and extreme, then the statement is also bad. So let us be careful for the sake of Allah. But easily in poems, because of the zeal to choose expressions that will move the listener, easily people go beyond limits and praise people beyond limits. And the bulk of what happens in poems are lies. So that's why Arabs also say that A'azabu shi'ir akzabuhu. A'azabu shi'ir akzabuhu. The sweetest, the most delightful of poems are those ones with the most lies. So they deliberately also put lies in poems so that it should be sweet and delightful. May Allah protect us from this. We can move to the next chapter, which will end the issue about praising and going beyond limits in praising people. And that will be narration number 343. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, in that haddathana Ali, before that, the chapter is on Babu i'ta'i sha'ir idha khafa sharrahu. Babu i'ta'i sha'ir idha khafa sharrahu. The chapter about giving something to a poet. I'ta'i sha'ir, for someone singing poetry. Giving money. Idha khafa sharrahu. When you are afraid that he can begin to destroy your person and your honor from his poem. Like we mentioned earlier, poems can be used positively and they can be used negatively. When they are used positively, they praise goodness and good people. When they are used negatively, they destroy people. Someone is good, is a nice person, easy going, they want to destroy his person. You find poems, they start making hijab of him. They start making, it's well known, it's a major aspect of the sciences of poetry in Arabic literature. They want to destroy him, so they speak evil of him. Everything with him, they'll abuse him from his head to his toe. Even his speech will be abused and insulted. When you find that a poem is like a poet becomes like this, it has become a trial to to, but if you give him something, he keeps quiet. Because he, at the ordinary, would be from amongst the madahud. You give him something, he keeps quiet. This is how they are. Once you do something, they keep quiet. If you know that if you give this poem, this poet, the poet who sings poetry, if you give him something, he will keep quiet and he will abstain from speaking evil about you, which is also lies. But you give him that by way of protecting yourself. The ulama say it is lawful. And that will come under that general statement we had read previously, that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, inna min sharri nas man tuqiya li fuhshihi, inna min sharri nas, from the worst of the people are those who tuqiya min sharrihi. You take precautions. You want to be nice to him because you are afraid that he will be evil towards you, direct evil. So you just show him a smiley face, hello, how are you? But you are just being careful about him directing evil towards you. So the same thing applies to the poet. If you know that the poem of this man singing poetry is just to insult you, to abuse you, to bring you down. And that happens to journalists too in our community. You see a journalist praising a politician because he gave them money. And you see journalists destroying the reputation of people because they may not have given them something. And that's why you see major news outlets, they write it, they don't give something. They don't give because the common thing is that people give and people take. And those who take begin to praise those who gave them, even when they are not deserving to be praised. So for the sake of Allah, Muslims who get involved in these things should stop it, because they are selling the hereafter, their hereafter, for falsely worldly benefits. May Allah protect you. So if you find someone who was going to destroy your reputation, if you give him 5,000 naira, he will stop. Just give him the 5,000 naira and let him stop. And they always go for a paltry sum for people who do this. People who go about destroying people's personality. They do it for a paltry thing. So if you know that, just give him 10,000 naira, he will keep quiet. Give him the 10,000. This is what Al-Imam Al-Bukhari is saying here. إِطَاءُ الشَّائِرِ إِذَا خَافَ شَرَّهُ. Giving the poet something when you fear evil from him. And that would come from the general narration we had read in, I think, Hadith 338, that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, inna min sharri nas man tuqiya li fuhshihi. From the worst of the people are those who are avoided. You do something to avoid the evil from them. So, but here, the narration comes under narration 343. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana aliyun, قال حدثنا زيد بن حباب قال حدثنا يوسف بن عبد الله ابن نجيد بن عمران بن حسين الخزاعي قال حدثني أبي نجيد أن شاعرا جاء إلى عمران ابن حسين فأعطاه فقيل له تعطي شاعرا فقال أبكي على إرضي. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported this hadith from one of his biggest teachers, from both that Al-Imam al-Bukhari learned from, and he respected most, was who? Ali ibn Abdullah al-Madini. And he used to say, مَسْتَصْغَرْتُ نَفْسِي إِنْدَ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا عَلِيٌ ابْنِ عَبْدِلَّهِ. I would not consider myself small if I sat in front of a scholar, except if I sit in front of Ali ibn al-Madini. Al-Bukhari said, whenever I sit in front of Ali ibn al-Madini, I consider myself small boy. I consider myself young in knowledge because of the huge, vast knowledge of this Imam. Ali ibn Abdullah ibn al-Madini, rahimahullah. He said, حَدَّثَنَا زَيْدِ ibn Hubab. Zayd ibn Hubab in this hadith, he is Zayd ibn Hubab ibn Rayyan al-Tamimi. He is reporting from Yusuf ibn Abdullah يوسف ابن عبد الله ابن نجيج ابن عمران ابن حسين. The companion رضي الله عنه عمران ابن حسين. It mentioned in a short class, in a class recently. عمران ابن حسين الخزاعي was a companion of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And he was amongst the knowledgeable ones, very knowledgeable amongst the companions. عمران ابن حسين الخزاعي رضي الله عنه. He had a son called Nujayd. This report has come from his son Nujayd. And Nujayd has a grandchild whose name was Yusuf. So it is Yusuf ibn Abdullah ibn Nujayd who is reporting this hadith. I hope that is clear. And that's why Yusuf said, Haddathani Abi Nujayd. Yusuf was referring to his grandfather as Abi. Yusuf ibn Abdullah ibn Nujayd was referring to his grandfather as what? My father. It is lawful in Islam. A grandchild can refer to his grandfather as what? My father. Can refer to your grandmother as what? My mother. Likewise, the grandfather can refer to the grandson as what? My son. The mother too can, grandmother can refer to grandchild as what? My son or my daughter. They don't need to say my granddaughter or my grandson. The grandson is son. Just like the grandmother is mother. The grandfather is father. So Yusuf ibn Abdullah ibn Nujayd is referring to his grandfather Nujayd as what? Adi, my father. So I hope that is taken from that. So Nujayd, the son of Imran ibn Hussein, is the one reporting from his father, Imran ibn Hussein. Anna Shairan Ja'a ila Imran ibn Hussein. A poet came to Imran ibn Hussein. We knew that after the times of the companions, a lot of people took to poetry. And the companions used to handle them as is appropriate. Radiallahu anhu. So Nujayd, the son of Imran ibn Hussein, reported that Anna Sha'iran Ja'a ila Imran ibn Hussein. A poet came to my father Imran ibn Hussein. Fa'ata'u. Imran ibn Hussein gave him something. Fa'kila lahu. It was said to my father, Tu'ti Sha'iran. You are giving a poet something. You are giving a poet. You are giving, handing a gift to a poet. Faqal. Imran ibn Hussein replied and said, Ubuki ala irudi. I'm just preserving my honor. I'm just preserving my honor. So sometimes you give the people money by way of preserving your honor. Maybe on the road sometimes we are stopped by police. At the beginning, they give us something, it becomes a trouble. You can give something to preserve your honor. But that is not from the best things to do. From the best things to do is not to go and hang on the people's neck, threaten them, or you want to befriend them. You start talking, because you want to take something from them. And they have to give you because they are afraid of the evil from your hands. This is not good at all. People have to give you something because they are afraid of your mouth. Or they are afraid of particular evils that you can bring to them. Sometimes it is those drug boys. You can be in a traffic hold up. They just come. Allah, you give up. They start shaking. It has happened. They start shouting and making a noise. And please, just try to do something to preserve your honor. Because it can become messy. Sometimes they broke the windscreens of people. And they can even say about you what you did not do. And it becomes a trouble. I've heard cases like that. Someone was falsely accused, something he didn't know about, because those same boys came to him in the traffic and they were hitting his vehicle. He didn't give them anything. So they said he did something, and then it became a trouble. So sometimes when you fear harm or hurt from people, all you need to do is just do something and go away. So that by way of protecting yourself and protecting your honor. And that will come to show us that those persons are from the worst of people. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, inna min sharri nas from the worst of the people are those who the people have to avoid them one way or the other because of the evil of their hands. So from the worst of the people are those people that you have to give them something because you fear the evil from their hands. May Allah protect us from all of this. But Abu Nujayd, the son of Imran ibn Hussein, the ulama say regarding him that la yu'raf. The ulama say regarding him that la yu'raf. Likewise, Yusuf ibn Abdullah ibn Nujayd, la yu'raf. So this report is a slightly weak report, but the meaning of this subject heading is correct. And we understand that from that hadith that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, from the worst of people are those we have to do something to protect ourselves from the evil from their hands. Allahu alam. This is where we like to stop regarding issues about prayer and all of this. The next chapter issues will be about issues of ziyara, mutual visitation. What are the manners and the virtues of one Muslim visiting another Muslim, one Muslim going to visit another Muslim? What are the issues connected to it? Inshallah, we'll come to these issues in the subsequent class. If we have one or two questions regarding the class today, inshallah, we may address them as brief as Allah permits in the class today. Abu Ali.
Jazakumullah khair, Shaykhana. Ahsan Allah ilayk.
Ameen wa antum fa jazakumullah khair. And there's a question here from Ummu Ammar. Would ghazal between spouses increase love towards one another be counted amongst the prohibited points? All of these are correct. Just the basic rule should be employed. Hasanu ha hasanu. When it is good, it is good. Wa kubha wa qabihu ha qabihu. When it is bad, then it is bad. What makes it good or bad is if it is within limits, if it is balanced, if you don't do it too often. Because even the ghazal that he's saying is still about some sweet words to your husband. Be careful about it. You don't go beyond limit. It is just like kalam. So don't say about your husband what he did not do. Don't say about your husband who is ordinarily a tough man. You begin to say he's so patient, he's balanced. He is not. So don't say about him what he is not. Don't say about him what he is not. Then don't go on repeating it all the time. Because it has to do with praising him. So for the sake of Allah, let's be careful about this. It will end up to destroy the marriage if you are not careful. Because once arrogance and self-amazement comes in for a woman, she becomes a woman that the husband finds difficult to control. And vice versa. So let us be careful about expressions of praise, expressions of approval, whether in shir, whether in ghazal, whether in ordinary kalam, whether in whatever way, be careful so that you don't fall into kadhib, or you don't fall into nifaq, or you don't fall into mujazafa, or you don't fall into mu'inun al-i'anatu lil-'asi. You don't fall into supporting and helping someone who is upon sinfulness. I hope that this is clear from the question. I think it came from one of the Ummahat. Now,
Shaykh, I'm in one.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How do we throw dust at someone? Is it a handful of dust or just a few pinches?
The statement hafa has to do with a handful. You pack the handful, you pack it. You just pack something from the ground, you would have fulfilled it. Pack something from the ground, you would have fulfilled it. So if it's convenient to pack a handful, if you pack a handful, hafaita. If you pack just something from it, hafaita. So whichever, pack something and pour it. Whichever of them that you do, you have fulfilled that expression. I hope that is clear about Amr.
Naam, Shaykhana, jazakumullah khair.
I mean, There's a question here, Abu Amir. How should one respond to praises from someone with what Allah has blessed one with? Someone praises you with something that is with you. You say what Abu Bakr used to say, Allahumma la tu'akhidhni bima yakulu. Oh Allah, don't hold me responsible for what they say about me. So if they say that you are eloquent, for example, holding you responsible for your eloquence is to ask you whether you have employed your eloquence in da'wah fi sabilillah. How many people have you made da'wah to today? If they say you have a sweet voice, holding you responsible for your sweet voice is to ask you how sweetly you read the Quran. I remember meeting a brother with a very nice voice. He was making poetry. He sang that poetry well. Everybody was moved. So I called him, do you memorize Quran? He said, small, small. I said, small, small? You memorize Quran small, small with this voice? And that was the same thing that happened between Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, and Zirr ibn Hubaysh, or Zurara. One of those who reported Quran from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he used to have a very good voice. And the man was going on to speak poems. Everybody sat down enjoying the man's poem. Ibn Mas'ud was walking past, he saw the people. He started crying. Radiallahu anhu. So the garden became spoiled. So that's Ibn Mas'ud crying over us. What did we do? The young man who was singing the poem ran after Ibn Mas'ud to his house. I was asking Ibn Mas'ud, what's wrong? He said, I'm just amazed at your sweet voice. I wish that this voice, as sweet, as melodious as it is, you read the Quran with it instead of singing poems with it. The man changed. He became a major reporter of Qira'at from Abdullah Ibn Mas'ud. So for the sake of Allah, instead of spending, if you want to be held responsible for your sweet voice, that people praise you for, Allah will ask you. If you didn't memorize the Quran, I will ask you, you have a sweet voice. Are you reading the Quran with a sweet voice? If a woman is beautiful, is she employing the beauty in obedience to her husband? So if something is with you and you are praised with it, say what Abu Bakr used to say. Because for every gift that Allah has given you, if he chooses to hold you responsible for it, you find it hard. So Allahumma la tu'akhidhni bima yakulu. Oh Allah, don't hold me responsible for what they say of me. Waghfir li ma la ya'lamu. Forgive me what they don't know about me. Because there is no one that is praised for something except that he will find this praise in another thing that he has. If you are beautiful, you speak well. If you are beautiful, is your character nice? If you are beautiful, are you a hygienic person? If your voice is sonorous, are you able to retain something in your mind? Are you not someone who, when you speak, people say you are foolish? So many things like that. So if you are perfect in some ways, you are definitely imperfect in other things. So Abu Bakr and Siddiq will say, "Waghfir li ma la ya'lamu." Those things they don't know about me, forgive me, O Allah. And then he will beg Allah, "Waj'alni khayran mimma yadhunnun." Those things they think positive regarding me, make me better in those things. So if I'm beautiful, make me more beautiful. If I'm handsome, make me more handsome. If I'm eloquent, make me more eloquent. So this kind of a statement will help you balance and not push you into self-amazement and arrogance. So if people praise you with something that you know is, yes, it's with me, I have it, say this dua. Allahumma la tu'akhidhni bima yaqulun. وَغْفِرْ لِي مَا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَجْعَلْنِي خَيْرًا مِمَّا يَظُنُّونَ. May Allah forgive all of us.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khair, Shaykhun.
Ameen, want.
This one reads, is it permissible to praise someone who has died?
Yes, it's encouraged, not just permissible. It's encouraged to praise people who have died because it is from the aspects of testifying for their goodness. And the Malaika go about recording this testimony. They record this testimony and it counts from the good deeds of that person. So it's good to praise those who have died. also in that balance must be employed. We must say of them only what is true about them, not lies about them, not exaggerations about them. What is true about them? It's good to do it. It's encouraged. There's a hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab in Sahih Muslim. It's encouraged to do that, to say positive and make approvals, pour encomium on people who have passed away. May Allah forgive our dead ones.
Amen.
Now,
the next one here is, what if you talk about the evil of your husband to express to people why you are venting, as these people see him as good from outside? Is this permitted?
If people see him as good, like we said, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq used to say, "Waghfir li ma la ya'lamu." There is no one who is seen to be good in things except that he has evils to, he has shortcomings to. There is nobody except the Messenger alayhi salat. If you find a man good in something, he has other things. He has things that he is also battling with. He may know and he may not know. So if he is seen good, perhaps Allah covers his faults from the eyes of the people. The wife wants to be the one to help publicize his thoughts. This is from the aspects of no other than slander and backbiting. Allah covered his faults. And you who wants to say to them that, oh, this my husband, the only thing that is good or is a bad person, you want to show that. You also have your own evils too. So why not get busy with that, your faults, your mistakes? Leave your husband alone. If anything, help him over his mistakes and shortcomings. This is the meaning of a wife. So when the wife becomes the one who wants to say, oh, don't think that my husband is good, he's a bad person, then she doesn't even deserve to be a wife, because that is not from the attributes of a cloth. When Allah described the husband to the wife, he said, "Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahunna." From the things our clothes do to us is that they cover our faults. I knew someone when we were in university, she did not used to wear hijab. Later, she used to wear hijab. When she was not wearing hijab, she had a look, let me not say it. She had a look that if you see it, you not like to marry her. But when she started wearing hijab, every brothers wanted to marry her. Everyone wanted to marry her. But they don't know that fault, except those who knew her when she was wearing hijab. So your clothes cover your faults. So if Allah described the husband as libas for the wife and the wife as libas for the husband, you will see now that woman who wants to now open the libas of her husband does not deserve to be a wife. So if he has from the things that spouses alone see from their husbands or from their wives, you want to say that also to the public. You want to go and say that. So what makes you a wife? So this is not from things that, this is from the aspects of being a woman who goes about slandering her husband. Such women do not deserve to be in those homes. When a man notices such a thing about that woman, he may throw her out of the house. May Allah protect us. The men too should not be like that. Don't go about be the one. Allah has covered the faults of your wife. Then you go about exposing those faults. During adjudication, that is a separate thing. There's adjudication. There is a case on the ground. Two parties are seated. Maybe she's in court over a matter. She wants to prove that matter in court. Yes. She can say, he did this to me, he did this to me, he did this to me. I want my rights from him. And you go to court to seek a right. I want to take this right from him. So this right belongs to me. Okay, you can say those things. He married me for 20 years, and my mahar is still with him. I have begged him, I have messaged him to give me my mahar. He's not giving me. Help me. A sister told me that yesterday. She'd been married to someone, the person has not given her the mahar. They separated. She married another husband. So she can go to court to ask for that. So when they say, can you prove to her, she can start saying things. And in the course of that, she can say things that ordinarily she should have concealed about him. So during education, yes. But just because you want to do public work for someone that Allah has covered. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who does this, Allah will disgrace that person. Even in the room of her mother, Allah will disgrace you. Why did the Prophet say, even in the room of your mother? Because in the rooms of our mothers, we get the best protection. The mother wants to protect her son or her daughter by any means possible. So even there, Allah will bring disgrace to you. If you are a man or a woman, as the case may be, your job is that, oh, my husband is good, though, but he's a bad person. You are only privileged to know his faults. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to know his faults because you are sleeping and waking up together. And there is not any man except that the wife sees his faults. Just like there is not a woman, no woman, except that the husband sees the faults. Allah says, "Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahunna." Hunna libasul lakum. Your wives are clothes. They cover that because they see. They see what no one sees. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Have you seen the Prophet completely without anything? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, "I have seen him without anything." No one can say about that one. So a women see of men what nobody can see. Men see of their wives what nobody can see. So it is deserving. The same thing comes to washing a corpse. Those who wash corpses, they are prohibited in the corpses. They are prohibited in the Sharia to come and start saying the details of what they saw. I saw him, he was looking like this. No, it's haram. And that's why when you make wasiyah, make a wasiyah for those who will wash your corpse. Because they will see a lot of things. So if you have a friend who is actually an enemy to you, you didn't know, you say he's the one who should wash your corpse. What will he do to your corpse after you have gone? He will see things and then he will say things. He will see things and then he will say things. So the best person to wash your corpse is your wife, if she can. So now that wife who should be the best person to wash your corpse, she's the one who wants to announce to the world that that's my husband that you see as handsome. Ha! When he died and I was washing him, she starts saying a lot of things. So women, keep the privacy of your husband as long as you remain their wife. And keep the privacy of your wife too. As long as they remain your wives. It is very, very common now. People go about doing things like this. May Allah protect each and every one of us. Abu Amir, we took time on this issue.
Amen. And now, Sheikh.
Shall we stop? Ameen wa iyyakum.
Naam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خير يا شيخ.
آمين آمين وأنتم جزاكم الله خير.